because I don't want to look at it. But we're not here to talk about my old crazy self. I was encouraged by some things that took place at work to help me with my job. And today, we want to encourage one another. Got off the bus. Got a phone call. Our governor had some kind of report. When I get off the bus, I'm like most guys. I just want to go home and play with my boxes. Y'all have heard about guys in their boxes, right? When guys get off of work, they just want to play with their boxes. Their box of a car. I like to sit in my car for about 15, 20 minutes, listen to a message being preached on the radio or some encouraging program before I go home. And then we want to get on our other box, our TV box, and I like to watch my cowboy shows. I just want to relax. The day's over. I don't want to hear stuff. But I couldn't get off the bus because the governor said something about 25 people. And there are people who didn't hear the message and didn't get the full news of the day because that's not what the news does. They just hit you with the stuff and so I was like, man, come on. What we heard was that the 25 people or less, that we've gone through all of that, and we're good here at New Bryn Baptist Church. We meet all the requirements. We'll be back here next week, all 25 plus of us. Those in the parking lot are welcome to tune in. Those that are sheltering in place, you're okay. We're okay, church. So we're going to encourage one another today. Our text comes from Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 13, which reads, "But encourage one another." In the NIV it says, "daily." As long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. But encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Everybody needs encouragement. Everybody needs encouragement. We even encourage our dog. Come on, boy. You can do it. Come on. Believers are called to encourage one another day by day. With the truths and the promises found in the Word and who they are in Christ, else they may become discouraged by the troubles of this world and become hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. We're going to be talking about 3 points today, and I'd like to give those to you. Encourage one another while it is today. Our second point will be encourage one another by responding to others with God's love. And our third point will be encourage one another as you see the day drawing near. Encourage one another as you see the day drawing near. Now, the book of Hebrews does not have a specific author that is called out in that particular epistle. We know it had to be written before 70 AD because it refers to animal sacrifices. In 70 AD, we know that the Romans toppled and destroyed Jerusalem and the temple, and there were no more animal sacrifices. Animal sacrifices, according to the Levitical laws, the laws of Moses, had to be done in the house of God, either the tabernacle or the temple. You could not have these sacrifices at your house for the atonement of sins. They had to be done in the house of the Lord. And by 70 AD, there was no more time for anyone to go to the house of the Lord, for it had been destroyed. If you go to Israel today, you will see that there's a dome called the Rock sitting on top of what used to be the place of worship. So we know it had to be before 70 AD. And we know that Timothy was mentioned in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 23. It says that it was good news that he had been released from prison. And it's more than likely because back in the between 64 and 66 AD, both Paul and Peter had been martyred. So we know that this book of Hebrews that was written to Hebrews around the world, Christians around the world who had come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, that it was written to them. So we know it had to be somewhere late in that time period. What was going on with the Hebrews during that time period? Why did they need to be encouraged, these Christian Jews? We weren't talking about Gentiles. We're talking about Christian Jews. Why did they need to be encouraged at that time? Because they were going through persecution. The kind of persecution they were going through makes the stuff that we whine and cry about look like nothing. In fact, if I were to go into the excruciating details of the kind of persecution they were going through, I'd have to make sure that you were over 18 because it's scary stuff. I'm not even going to tell you about the types of things. I'll just mention, if you will, that Christians were used as torches for nighttime entertainment. They would cover you with oil and tie them up to posts, and they would light them off so they could see and have their midnight games. There in the Colosseum, it was well known that they would take Christians that they had gathered and had not given up the name of Jesus. They still were able to keep their faith. Men and women of all ages, preachers, deacons of all colors, they would take them and release them to the lions and the tigers and the beasts and the oxen, drag them around, have them gored to death. I remember seeing one picture where there were many Christians that were on poles and they were being treated in ungodly ways. There were people that enjoyed just lighting them on fire, killing them with swords, spears, chains, whipping them to death, ripping the skin off their backs. We would be sick to see the kind of torture and pain and harm that came to them. There were people who were told that if you don't reject and denounce Jesus Christ as Lord, we're going to harm your wife. We're going to harm your children. We're going to kill them if you don't reject Jesus Christ as your so-called Lord and Savior. You need to get back to the Judaism. There were Jews that were persecuting and stoning these Jewish Christians. It didn't just have to be the Romans. Oh, it could be the folks in Jerusalem. You know that Paul was a Jewish terrorist. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees. Oh, he could take his qualifications and make people look stupid in comparison to the zeal and the education that he had. He was dragging people from their homes and taking them back to Jerusalem, some to their death, until Jesus met him on a road to Damascus. Oh, how then can you say, brother preacher, encourage one another? How do you say encourage one another when people are going through that type of horrific treatment? How do you say encourage one another and do it day by day? In this third chapter of Hebrews, can we go to verse 4 of Hebrews chapter 3? But encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitful. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 4. I want to bring you up to speed on why this verse came along. Hebrews chapter 3 and verses 4, so we can kind of see where we're going. It says, for every house is built by someone, but God is the builder of everything. You see, the Judaizers, those people who were Jews by birth and by covenant and did not want to see these Christians, they were saying that Moses is greater than your Jesus, that Jesus was not as good as Moses. And in this letter, he was saying that the house is built by someone, but God is the builder of everything. In the next verse, verse 5, Moses, yeah, he was faithful as a servant in all God's house, testifying what would be said in the future. But he was a servant. Look at verse 6. But Christ is faithful as a son over God's house. Yes, Moses was faithful in God's house, but Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and as God is the builder of the house, he was faithful over God's house. Yes, Jesus is over Moses, and we are his house if we hold on to our courage and the hope of which we boast. I hope you understood when you see hold on to our courage after what I just described to you as to what Christians were going through, that you're getting the picture. Let's look at verse 7. So as the Holy Spirit says today, saints, if you hear his voice, verse 8, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion during the time of testing in the desert. He's taking them back through a history lesson here. Verse 9 says, where your fathers tested and tried me. Now, who is the me? Oh, it's God. Oh, it's God. God is the one who the fathers, those ancient Jews, tested and tried for 40 years, saw what I did. They were witnesses to the miracles that I did before them. They were witnesses to the cloud. They were witnesses to the fire that went before them. They were witnesses when the Egyptians were drowned in the Red Sea after they walked through on dry land to get to the other side. Verse 10, that is why I was angry with that generation. And I said, their hearts are always going astray and they have not known my ways. Even though I took them out of Egypt, even though I comforted them, I fed them, I gave them a rock, not a water fountain, a rock that went around with them. Given, then they said, a rock was giving out water, and you have problems believing in the Father? Are you nuts? So I declared on oath of my anger. Yes, God can get angry, but he has a righteous anger. They shall never enter my rest. That's verse 11. Verse 12 says, see to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. Hold it right there. See to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. Now, why would the hearts turn away from a living God? Oh, because of the persecution that they were going through. Oh, because of the treatment that they were facing. Christians were losing their property because they believed in Jesus. Christians were being killed day by day. Christians were being dragged off and stoned. He said, see to it, brothers, that you don't act like those rascals out in the wilderness that saw what I did and yet turned their backs on me, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. Does it happen today? Oh, we get persecuted. We get treated funny. Somebody in church didn't speak to me right. I don't like the way Sister So-and-so looked at me. I don't like what the pastor said. I'm not coming to church. I'm going to stay home. Some were sheltered in place before shelter in place became the norm because of COVID-19. Some people had an unbelieving heart when they were turned around and turned away by somebody's actions. Someone didn't encourage them. Someone was talking about them. Oh, I know what it means to be talked about. I remember sitting in the seat behind the pulpit where the pastor every Sunday had something to say about Reverend Kaysen. I don't know why he treated me that way. Sometimes he was nice to me. Other times, he would say stuff that was embarrassing. And all I could do after doing like Brother Leroy Jr. and leading the worship service, I had to sit down and wait for what he's going to say this Sunday. I got to a point I wanted to take the baseball bat out of my Mustang and beat my pastor upside his head. Say it one more time, Pastor. Say something else. That the hearts could become callous, turn away from what you're supposed to be doing because someone's not encouraging you to keep the faith. See to it, brothers. But encourage one another, verse 13, our text for today. But encourage one another daily. Brother Kaysen, don't think that way about your pastor. Don't do that. Brother Kaysen, that pastor got some problems. But you don't have to worry about him. You look to Jesus as long as it's called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We have another verse of scripture to look at there in Mark 14. There in Mark 14. We're looking at verses 37 through 41. Our first point is encourage one another. Now, there was a Pharisee who invited Jesus to come to dinner. Not all the Pharisees in the Bible were evil people, just some. This particular Pharisee invited Jesus to come to his house for dinner. It says, then he returned to his disciples and family. I'm sorry, I apologize. My mind is racing on me. We want to be encouraging. We're looking at Mark 14 and verse 37. I'm jumping ahead. Then he returned to his disciples. Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he asked his friends, his disciples, just a few of them, if they would come alongside with him because he's got something on his heart. He's got some pain on his heart. Jesus was 100% God and 100% man, and the body that he had was going through something because he knew he was going to have to take the cup of wrath, the cup of wrath. And so as he went to pray, he asked them, could you watch and pray with me just for a little while? Then he returned to his disciples and found them doing what? Were they praying? Were they looking out for their friend Jesus? No, they were sleeping. That meal must have been some good. Simon, he said to Peter, are you asleep? Could you not keep watch for just 1 hour? Could you not just keep your eyes open and pray for me for just 1 hour? Verse 38, watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak. Why should we encourage one another day by day? Because our spirits may be willing. Oh, but our flesh is weak. It's subject to wandering off when we are not encouraged day by day to things that are apart, to things that are off God's righteous path. Let's look. And once more he went away, praying the same thing, talking to his father about that cup. Can you take the cup away? Is there another way? Do I have to take this terrible punishment there on the cross? Is there another way that man can be reconciled back to God? When he came back, he again found them doing what? They were sleeping because their eyes were heavy and they did not know what to say to him. Oh, you ever said, "I pray for you, brother," and you ain't bit more pray for them at all? Oh, you need me to pray? I'll pray for you, brother. And then you forgot all about it, look at your phone, got your text messages, got on Facebook that night. "Brother, did you pray for me?" "Oh, yeah, you on my mind, brother." Now you're lying. Eyes were heavy. They did not know what to say. Returning the third time. This is sad, isn't it? We're supposed to encourage one another daily, day by day. But the third time on the same night, he said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting?" Enough. The hour has come. Too late now. Look, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. They did not encourage the Lord Jesus Christ. At the darkest time, one of the darkest times of his earthly ministry, when he needed them most, they were not there to encourage him. Their hearts were hardened by the sleepiness of their eyes. Point number two. Encourage one another by responding to others with God's love. Responding to others with God's love. We're looking at Luke chapter 7, verses 44 through 50. 44 through 50. And now we get to talk about another Simon who was a Pharisee, and he invited Jesus to his house. And while he was having dinner with the Lord Jesus Christ at his house, there was a young lady who came with an alabaster box of some very expensive perfume, and she brought this alabaster box and broke it, and she began to pour it on the feet of Jesus. And she didn't just pour it, but she took her hair and she washed the feet of Jesus as he lay there by the table. They reclined in those days. They didn't have chairs to sit in to eat. They reclined on the floor. And so the feet were extended, and she washed his feet with her hair. But that expensive ointment, that expensive perfume that she was wiping the feet of Jesus with her hair was expensive. And people got a little upset that were in the house. Because what are you doing? All that expensive perfume. Does Jesus know who it is that is wiping his feet? Why is he not recalled by this old sinner woman washing his feet with her old nasty hair? Jesus told a story. Told a story. Simon, I have something to tell you. He knew what Simon was thinking. Tell me, teacher, he says in verse 40, he says, two people, we're going to wait till 44 to get to you, but I'm going to read ahead. Two people owed money to a certain money lender. One owed him 500 denarii, the other 50. Neither of them had any money to pay him back, so he forgave the debts of both, the one that was the 500 denarii and the other 50. Now, which of them will love him more? Simon replied, I suppose the one who had the bigger debt forgiven. You have judged correctly, Jesus said, and here we are at verse 44. Then he turned toward the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? I came to your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, which was the custom of that day. But she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, which was the custom of that day. But this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. Verse 46 says, you did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown. But whoever has forgiven little, Simon, they love little. Then Jesus said to her, your sins are forgiven. The other guests began to say among themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? Jesus said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. I tell you today, saints, we need to encourage one another by responding to others with God's love as he did. You know, when we see somebody who's in need, and she was a woman, according to reports that Simon stated in, there in this gospel, she had some sin in her life. She had some scars that were in her life. She was not looked at as somebody of high regard. She was looked down on. There are people that you will meet today, tomorrow, this week, who've had some issues in their lives. Some people that had some rough moments in their lives. It may have been someone who had some issues with relatives doing some awful things to them when they were little, male or female. And they have some characteristics that have chased them and harass them through their life, and they have a certain personality, and they do things because of what took place years ago, acting out in pain. Somebody who's caught up with that alcohol or drugs, caught up in pornography, caught up in feeling like they aren't worth anything. Someone who's used to spending time in the criminal justice system. Somebody who got divorced and can't seem to get it together. They have their children with them. They don't have a place to live. They have to stay in a shelter. Their children go to school, but when they come home, they don't come home to a home. Somebody needs somebody to encourage them in Christ, not Christians who are there to condemn them because they're not like me. Somebody needs to encourage somebody by showing them the kind of love that Jesus showed that woman who kept kissing his feet and with her tears washed his feet after having poured this very expensive perfume, about a year's salary worth. Oh, don't be like Simon, the Bible teaches us, but encourage one another with the kind of agape love that Jesus showed, the sacrificial love. People need to be encouraged, saints. That was our second point. Encourage one another by responding to others with God's love. That came from Luke 7. And our third point, encourage one another as you see the day drawing near. Now, I want you to remember what we talked about with regards to the book of Hebrews as we look at Hebrews 10, verses 23 to 25. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23 to 25. We want to recall in our introduction, in our history, in our background that we gave to you regarding these Christian Jews in the epistle of Hebrews. As we look at our third point, encourage one another as you see the day drawing near. Would you look with me at Hebrews chapter 10? And verse 23, remembering the persecution that they were going through, says in verse 23 of Hebrews chapter 10, says, let us hold unswervingly to the hope. What hope is that? Oh, the hope that they have in Christ. The hope that they have. That they have eternal life. And that even though many will suffer and many will die as a result of trusting in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, that despite all of the persecution, it says, verse 23, let us hold unswervingly to the hope. The hope that we profess. If we profess this hope, that means they're telling people, I don't care what you do to me. Like those Hebrew boys, I don't care how you treat me. I am not going to reject Jesus Christ. I'm not going to do anything but profess him as my Lord and Savior. For he who promised, oh, he's faithful. Those old ancient Jews that were doing the ring around the roses for 40 years in the wilderness, turning that nose up when God gave them the manna from heaven, who today we know as Jesus, turning their nose up against the quail. You know, I calculated how many quail, the million, 2 million, million and a half, Jews ate if they ate every day. And they had quail for dinner. That's a whole lot of bird. I don't know why we engineers like to think about things like that. But that was a whole lot of bird that they ate for 40 years there in the wilderness. And they didn't have to pay for it. And they complained. I don't like going to Kentucky Fried Chicken. One, I don't like the food. That's not my kind of fried chicken. All right? That's just not the kind of taste of fried chicken that I like. Because we didn't have Kentucky Fried Chicken where I lived in my mama's house. We had to make our own fried chicken. I like mama's fried chicken. Oh, but for $25 for a bucket of some old dry chicken and some stuff. And don't even talk about golden blankety blank. That chicken is so greasy, you could squeeze one of them legs and have enough grease to cook another meal just from one leg. How much did that chicken, did that quail cost? And they complained about it. Oh, in verse 23 of Hebrews chapter 10, it says, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. God was faithful then, and God is faithful now. And God was faithful to these Jewish Christians. Look at verse 24. And in spite of all of that, and the things that we're going through, and the persecution that we are facing, at the threat of death or harm to us or to our family, it says, let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Says, let us consider, in spite of all of those horrible conditions, Brother Newby, that people were facing back then, Sister Maggie, let us not give up meeting together. They had to sneak around to go and worship. They had to sneak around. They didn't even have a governor saying 25 or less. They didn't have a COVID situation. They just had people who wanted to kill them. Said, let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. Why were they in the habit of not meeting? They were being persecuted. Some of them became callous towards the Lord. I'm not going out there. I don't know who's looking. I don't know who might be tattletelling on me. I'm going to just stay right where I am. As some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another. Despite those dark times, and all the more. All the more. Despite COVID-19. Despite the fact that people talk about us sometimes at church, despite that some folk are just plain mean and nasty, despite all the things that I'm going through, and all the more as you see the day approaching, let us encourage one another. Saints, please encourage one another. Please encourage those who are sheltering in place. Please encourage them. They need to be encouraged. This book of Hebrews was originally written to Jewish Christians who were experiencing persecution. They were under pressure to return to a more popular way. Speaking of Judaism, at the same time, this statement here that we have read comes within the context of several warnings, where the writer of Hebrews has cautioned his readers about the danger of being careless and shallow, like the ancient Jews there in the wilderness, being dismissive of their Christian faith. A failure in the desert, at the borders of the promised land, they had to spend time for 40 years because they did not hold fast to the trust and faith in the God who delivered them out of Egypt and was providing for their needs and was going to give them the promised land that was promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We should embrace the confidence that those Christians back in the day that Hebrews was written, and embrace, as they did, the confidence that we have in Christ and the salvation that he has. But to do that, having gone through the things that we go through today, we need to be encouraging each other day by day. Everybody has times of discouragement, fear, loneliness, times of hopelessness. The world is full of all kinds of folk who will seek to discourage us from living out our dreams, living out our potential in Christ. Even in his darkest hour, we saw that Jesus needed somebody to encourage and watch over him. The world is full of those who will seek to do us harm. However, God's word commands us, saints, in Hebrews chapter 10, to encourage one another, and all the more in these strange and challenging times. New Berean, there are people who are looking for work, looking for career changes, looking for improvements to their health situation. Some are going to have to recover from surgeries. They're mourning those who have slipped over into eternity. We need to watch and pray. Peter and those guys that didn't know what to say to Jesus, but I tell you that the Spirit is willing, and even though our flesh is weak, we need to encourage one another in these stressful times, in this season that we are living in. We need to be diligent in encouraging one another, seeking to find ways to encourage our fellow Christians, our brothers and our sisters in the faith. Every one of us have received this command, whether we're sheltered in place, whether we're worshiping in a parked car outside at 3600 Bamboo Road, or whether we're here in this beautiful sanctuary. Whether someone's away at school or serving in the military, it's time, saints, that we encourage one another while it is still today. Let us pray. Lord, I thank you.